If you can swing a hammer and aren't put off by foul smells, there's a job for you in New Orleans. That's the word many laborers from around the country are hearing, and they're showing up in droves from places like New Jersey, Texas, North Carolina, and other areas hit by Katrina. But as NPR's Luke Burbank reports, one big question is, where will they sleep?
Glenn Martin is surprisingly upbeat, considering he's standing in a puddle of dirty, smelly water, pushing a shovel through an assortment of adult diapers and home pregnancy tests.
I'm tearing down the inside of a Rite Aid. We gutting it out so they could come and redo it right now. It's a scent in here from the water and I guess the mud and all that that sat in here, so you may need a gas mask.
Martin is standing in what used to be the drugstore's personal care section. Of course, that was before Katrina put most of this county, St. Bernard Parish, underwater. Martin's job is to corral the sopping mess of ruined merchandise into a more manageable pile so that a coworker can pick it up with a power scooper. All over New Orleans, there are signs and banners claiming the city will, in fact, be rebuilt. But before that can happen, the waterlogged contents of thousands of homes and businesses must first be excavated, bit by soggy bit. FEMA estimates there are some 30 million cubic yards of debris to deal with, enough to fill up 8 Louisiana Superdomes. The good news for people like Glenn Martin is that all those diapers aren't going to move themselves.
The money's good. The money is good. Yeah, it is. And you're working 6 to 7 days a week, so 12 hours a day.
Martin's making $13 an hour, much better, he says, than before the storm, when he was a semi-employed house painter. He grew up in this neighborhood, but many of the others here journeyed from around the state when they heard there was work in the Crescent City.
All right, brother, and we got these here boxes. With the three of us, fall,
we ought to be able to get it down within a half an hour.
Devis Albert is one of them. Each day, he's been driving 5 hours round trip from the town of New Roads, Louisiana, to do battle with the debris, the stench, and the occasional snake.
I was cleaning some shelves, and he was sitting on the second shelf, and he lashed out at me and grazed my arm.
What kind of snake was it?
They said it was a yellow-bellied water snake.
Fortunately, the yellow-bellied water snake is not poisonous to humans. Albert was fine and says he plans to keep making the trip as long as there is work, which should be for a long time, according to Scott Wells.
One of our little mottos here is, you know, this is a big elephant, you take one bite at a time.
Wells is FEMA's deputy federal coordinator for Katrina and Rita. He's sitting in the war room at the FEMA Joint Field Office, a converted department store in a rundown neighborhood of Baton Rouge. He says laborers needn't worry about running out of things to do anytime soon. Katrina was the largest natural disaster ever when it comes to property damage.
It's not even close. As a matter of fact, there's no number two or no number three. This is so much above and beyond any other disaster, we're leaving two and three blank. It's that big. It's that catastrophic.
Of course, that means would-be workers don't have anywhere to live either. The lucky ones are crashing 8 to a room in cheap hotels. The less lucky are camped out in cars and tents in the areas that escape the toxic water. But what about locals who fled to places like Baton Rouge? FEMA says it's doing everything it can to connect them with the work as well, including things like this, the FEMA-sponsored shuttle bus I'm on right now, which runs east on Interstate 10 between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. There is simply so much work to be done in New Orleans and so little available housing that this is the best FEMA has right now, to basically bring in load after load of people every morning and then take them back to Baton Rouge every night. Now, the work a lot of these folks are on the way to do this morning is anything but glamorous, and yet it is steady work. And that's why at 4:30 this morning, there was 52 people waiting to catch one of these buses in from Baton Rouge.
You can't work here. You're not going to work anywhere. It's just tons of work.
Cody Lawrence and Jesse Rowden are dragging out the insides of a Big Lots store in St. Bernard Parish. They quit their jobs in Fort Worth, Texas, and headed east on a hunch.
We came down here taking a chance, and then the chance just exploded. It was definitely rolling dice because it costed a lot of money to get down here from Texas.
The men came to the area after a contractor they met in Fort Worth offered to set them up with rebuilding work. Many of the larger jobs are being staffed by crews of union laborers. The pay is the same, but the union workers get benefits, and there is more oversight when it comes to safety.
I'm not sure if all this mold and stuff is really good for my lungs and all that. I mean, I don't really know anything about it. I don't know if a lot of people do. It's flaring my sinuses up, I know that.
Chad Buchanan is part of a non-union crew from Charlotte, North Carolina. He's standing in front of what was a shoe store, wearing a pair of boots he salvaged from the wreckage. With his shirt off, Buchanan looks like he's about 14 years old, though he says he's actually 18. Officials have cautioned workers to wear protective gear, but on this afternoon, few people seem to be taking that advice. Shane Jameson wasn't, and he was the supervisor.
We have respirators and stuff, but it's, you know, it's just a pain to wear when, you know what I mean? If you're working 8 hours with a respirator on, that almost chokes you in itself.
Considering the conditions, you'd think the workers here would be making big bucks. But that's not generally the case. At least for most laborers, the pay is about what it would be anywhere else in the region. In fact, some are making less than they would have at home. But, they say, the draw of steady work and a sense that they're helping rebuild one of America's most storied cities is enough to keep them here for the foreseeable future. Luke Burbank, NPR News.